The day had begun more horribly than usual. Nan's alarm went off at 5:45, disturbing Jake, who thrashed on his side of the bed.
"What was that?"
he demanded, and before she could speak, he repeated the question. "The alarm," she said, thinking in the brief moment after she answered that surely after all these years her husband should have learned to recognize the sound. Instead, his voice rose hysterically.
"I asked you what that was."
The room was dark. She couldn't see his face, didn't want to. "The alarm," she shouted, not caring if Jamie got awakened early or not. Jake sat straight up. She could see the outline of his body against the wall.
"Jesus, you don't have to shout. I only asked a question. I was startled. Now I'll never be able to get back to sleep. You could have answered me nicely, you know. You really could have. I don't yell at you when you're sleeping. Now my stomach is sick. Make me some tea and make sure the milk is warm this time. You know cold tea upsets me."
"Everything upsets you," she said under her breath, feeling for her slippers. At her muttered words, Jake threw off the tangle of blankets.
"You upset me," he yelled. "You never think. You just don't seem to care about me at all. You don't, do you?"
"I'll get your tea," she avoided the question.
"Answer me."
"Of course I do." She forced herself to sound like she meant it. "I'll be right back."
"Hurry up. And I'll have a piece of toast, too."
She went out and closed the door. Usually she tried to get out of the room without Jake hearing, gathering the clothes that she always put out the night before and creeping down the stairs, because Jake, once awakened, issued a stream of orders and commands that flayed that place inside that was hers, that she had been protecting for what seemed her lifetime. The kitchen was cool in the first light. Outside the big bay window, the elm trees stirred, and the small leaves caught the sun and flickered like fish in a great and moving sea. This was her time to open the back door and go out into her garden, alive to solitude, to her fragmented self that needed a half hour alone. This was the time when she listened to her inner voice and dreamed, and if she were lucky, wrote a poem, or at least the beginning of one, before Jamie got up. These 30 minutes were what kept her going, reaffirmed her person, her relationship to a world that, more and more, had nothing at all to do with Jake. She had started writing again 10 years into marriage. The first 10 years seemed, looking back, to have been chaos, a scramble for adaptation, protective coloration. "The survival of the fittest," she said to herself, smiling grimly, for why she wanted to survive only to be slapped down again was a question she couldn't answer, hadn't even asked. Jake's hysteria had left her trembling. She felt violated, raped, not physically, but inside, where her feelings were. The problem was that no one would believe her. What had happened this morning was a mere echo of 1,000 other mornings and nights. Jake's rages over nothing at all were a constant. Thinking about them, what she heard was his voice going on and on, accusing, damning her, and too often Jamie. Poor kid. Since he'd been 2 years old, she'd tried to shield him as much as possible from his father. Lately, he had devised his own methods of protection, slipping away after dinner to his own room or to the houses of friends, not returning until bedtime. She stood on the stone patio, inhaling the scents of spring, freshly turned earth, the fragrance of new grass, the ethereal perfume of yellow daffodils in the perennial border, violets in the shade along the fence. Everything was stirring, reaching for the sun, boisterous with the thrusting of instinct. "Everything but me," she thought sadly. "I just stay the same." She put out a hand and gently cupped a daffodil, peering into its heart as if she could read the future in its waxen core, its red-tipped stamens, as if somewhere was hidden a secret she could not fathom and hadn't the words to elucidate. Abruptly then, remembering Jake, she turned and went back to the house. Dutifully she steeped the tea and heated milk in a small pan, feeling that she stood apart from herself at a great distance, her hands, shaking but competent, moving by themselves, doing what they had done every morning of her married life. They arranged the old toll tray with cup and saucer, a plate of buttered toast, a folded napkin, then carried all down the hall and up the wide front stairs, the dishes rattling in time with the racing of her heart. Maybe this was how all the powerless felt, going into audience with a wicked ruler who, quite conceivably, could shout, "Off with her head!"